Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. Each week, we connect you to the people, the places, and the land of Israel. And we also bring you the truth of what's happening there on the ground in Israel, because there is a lot of deception in the news media when it comes to Israel and the Jewish people. And you have to fight that every single day, and you have to dig really deep to find the truth. And we bring you the truth here on the show every single weekend here on American Family Radio. Hedia Miramati is with us today, and Hedia Miramati Falco is an Iranian-American, former Muslim, former senior advisor at FBI headquarters and a nationally recognized expert on the Islamist movements in Iran. She is the author of the number one international bestseller, Living Fearless in Christ, Why I Left Islam to Win Battles for the Kingdom. Hedia, it is so nice to have you. I've been looking forward to this because you literally are an expert on just what I said.
Thank you so much for having me, John. It's really an honor.
You have so many credentials that we could talk about, but one of the things that popped out of my brain was your work with the FBI. Tell us about your work with the FBI.
Sure. I was at FBI headquarters towards the end of my career, and funny enough, my career in counterterrorism started as an FBI informant when I was in my 20s. Yes, it was during the 90s, and they were exploring the rise of radicalization before 9/11. And so I'd come across two FBI guys doing some investigation of some local mosques, and we struck up a relationship. I was helping them gather information because they didn't have access to the internet at the time. It had just started up, and they only had an intranet. And so I was doing all this public source information gathering for them to help them better understand and the extremist threat. And that led me to move to DC and start a career. And by the time I get to FBI headquarters, we're 20 plus years in. And I was hired to help them scale and replicate a program I actually built in the private sector to intervene and radicalize Muslim youth. And so that's what I was doing.
That's amazing. And so you really had such a grasp on what was going on with this radicalization in our country or around the world,
so,
or both?
I went to about 37 countries throughout my career. I worked in five presidential administrations for every branch of the U.S. government. And so I traveled to about 37 countries, kind of understanding the radicalization process in each of those countries. But my work at the FBI was specifically focused on the homeland. It was on America.
So what did you find out back then? And then we're going to talk about, you know, what you think is happening now or what you know is happening because you're an expert.
What I think in terms of radicalization. So unfortunately, the process of the Muslim radicalization, it's morphing constantly. And so during the time of bin Laden and al-Qaeda, it would take anywhere between a year and a half and 2 years for al-Qaeda to be able to recruit suicide bombers. There were these very intensive study sessions. They would take them away from their families, really disciplined and intense. By the time I get to the FBI headquarters and ISIS rolls around, so it was around 2015, they're radicalizing in 6 weeks. So these kids grow up in Minnesota, average family life, public school, and then they were going and killing themselves in Syria. It was very hard to understand how that process happened so fast. And so now we have what we call the Red-Green Alliance, and the FBI is referring to it as nihilistic violent extremism. So that is the merger of the anarchists, Marxists, far left with the jihadist. And so now they're not even bothering to convert them. What these terrorist groups have realized is, you know, why do we need to make them Muslim? They will go do the stuff that we want them to do anyways, and we don't need to go through the process of making them Muslims. So you saw the New Year's Eve plot in Los Angeles, the Turtle Island Liberation Front. That is very much an example of that fusion between jihadi principles and Marxist ideal.
That's shocking.
Yeah, no, Turtle Island Liberation Front was the terror plot in the United States in Los Angeles, California.
You see, I'm shocked because I'm ill-informed, Hedia. I'm totally ill-informed about this. You're talking about what is happening in our country. I'm listening to you,
yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's happening in some other country, you know, in Iran and, you know, wherever in these Islamist countries. But we're talking about the United States
of
America.
Yes, everything I just described was the United States.
It's shocking.
It is shocking. It is shocking. And they're always 10 steps ahead of us. So while people are still trying to follow, like, you know, investigating the Al-Qaeda model, we're already at the NVE model, which is, you know, they're not converting people. They're just infusing these chat forums and these groups and on Discord, on using social media, basically infusing jihadi principles into the anarchist movement, into the far left movement.
And their goal is?
Destruction of the United States. The breakdown of the Judeo-Christian value structure of our country.
Where do you see this happening most in our country? Are there hot spots, you know, in the United States? Is it worse in other places? I mean, you mentioned Minnesota.
Well, so it tracks, unfortunately, many people don't want to admit this, but it tracks where there's large Muslim populations. So what I'm describing is a terrorist phenomenon, but we also have the Islamist, like Mamdani, that Islamization of America happening that's not using the violence per se, but it's using soft power, demographics, voting, conversions, screaming about Islamophobia, taking over city councils. So that's happening basically parallel to some of where these terror cells are located, because they're large Muslim communities with large populations, and inevitably some of them get radicalized and become terrorists.
You know, you mentioned terror cells. We have terror cells in the United States.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I just heard a report this morning from a very prominent former CIA member who said there's about 18,000 since the border was opened under the Biden administration. So there's 18,000 that are suspected terror plotters against the homeland since 4 years ago.
These terrorists came through the southern border?
For the most part, yes. The millions of people that came over, I mean, it shouldn't be any surprise to people that amongst them would be terrorists.
From where?
All over, from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Somalia, from other, you know, East African countries, literally from all over.
You know, you're listening to this, and this is kind of scary stuff when you think about that. You've got these sleeper cells, you have this agenda from these radical Islamists out there that want to destroy our country. And, you know, we want to think that, oh, this is just suddenly something that has happened. So is it something that suddenly happened?
No, it's been decades. Unfortunately, a lot of the tenets of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was the manifesto that we discovered in the Holy Land Foundation trial, which is a civilizational jihad against the United States, was a 100-year plan. We're 50 years in to the 100-year plan. And so it was all about how do you conquer America from within? And they are much more advanced, more disciplined in executing that program than we are of recognizing they are executing the program. And unfortunately, a lot of Americans want to be open-minded, they want to be open-hearted, and they don't realize that they're up against this threat. And I really appreciate that good nature about what it means to be an American. But unfortunately, we have allowed our society to a large extent to be somewhat conquered in a sense. I mean, there's cities in America where they're playing the call to prayer, the Islamic call to prayer, at 5 a.m. I mean, in Dearborn, Michigan, people are waking up to the call to prayer at 5 a.m. There are carcasses, animal carcasses from animal sacrifices in people's garbage cans, because during the Muslim holidays, they sacrifice animals and they're doing it in their backyards. So there's, you know, people, our sense of tolerance is being taken advantage of, and people really are going to have to wake up and confront that problem if we really want to save what this country's about.
It's an Islamist invasion. I mean, it's an invasion of America. And who's talking about? You're talking about this.
Me and four other people.
No one's talking about this here in our country very much, but you're a voice that's out there saying we need to be aware of what's going on. You have the expertise. I mean, you were with the FBI, and then all the other expertise that you have, you know, in this area. And then, of course, being from Iran, tell us about your life there in Iran, and then how you came to the United States. I know we're switching gears just a little bit.
No,
but
no problem. I was actually born here. So my parents came before the revolution. Both of them are Iranian. They came for my father to finish medical school. So I didn't have the refugee experience. My father actually raised me to be quite a patriot. He was very happy to be an American, but we were always still Persians. There's a very ingrained culture when you're a Persian. So I didn't grow up with Islam, but I grew up knowing I was Persian. You know, so my parents had Persian friends. We ate Persian food. A lot of the culture was infused in our everyday social life. And so I've always had a heart for Iran. So when I started working for the U.S. government, I wasn't able to go over to Iran because it was dangerous for me. Like, I could be arrested at any moment and even killed as a spy. But now when I see the people rising up and trying to bring about a people's revolution, it would be, if they are successful, it will be the first time in human history that Islam is defeated by the people, not an army, but by the people. So it is, it has the potential to be the greatest failed experiment of Islam. And that would be, have huge ramifications around the world. That's what I, at least I firmly believe.
There is so much going on there in Iran right now. We hear about it in the news, the killing of people simply because they don't have a life there in that country, right?
It's miserable. And they say that, you know, we're already dead. So over 50,000 young people, for the most part, have lost their lives. Just they're literally killing, willing to die for freedom. And that should say something to the world about how important, how destructive and oppressive it is when you force a religion on a people. But second, like the cost of freedom. And it's the bravery is outstanding.
Well, I know we're doing a little whiplash here with these different topics, but that's going to happen with you.
Well, Islam, the Middle East, it always goes back and forth.
Just going back to what we were talking about, the invasion here in our country, everything you shared is just so shocking. And why aren't people not waking up to, you know, what's going on here in our country? Why do we have our head in the sand? And I'm wondering if our government has their heads in the sand as well. I don't know.
I don't think so. For the most part, a lot of places, they don't. So what's happening is it's a big country, 50 states, however many hundreds of cities. So it's happening in pockets, and those pockets aren't necessarily communicating. So something that's happening in, you know, the valley in Southern California, the people in Dearborn, Michigan don't know about. So we know that there are these large acreages, these Islamic communities that are popping up, that are Sharia cities, as we're calling them. And it wasn't until social media became prominent enough to elevate those voices that people started realizing they're happening around the country. And now our government is being forced to respond. But I've been talking about extremism and the rise of Islamization for decades. There's a lot of our politicians who just, I don't want to say they don't care, but when they weigh the pros and cons of how do we make a constitutional challenge to what is considered a religious group to, I need these constituencies to support me in an election, and, you know, all of the oil and partnerships we have with the Middle East and the Gulf, let's just keep a status quo. When they weigh all of these variables, everybody sides on, let's just stay quiet. And you look at Europe, Europe's burning. And I don't really think we're that far behind. We're not talking decades. We're talking at most, I think, a decade until it's really a serious thing that we can notice just about anywhere.
What's the call to action for people here in this country and for people who love the Bible, love the Lord? What's the call to action?
The most important thing that I tell people is that, first of all, we have a response for the hope that we have in our lives, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to be able to start at home. We have to protect our families. We have to raise children and grandchildren that understand what it means to be a Christian. Because remember, there are a lot of kids converting out of Christianity into Islam. And that's another recruitment tactic. So we need to protect our kids and our families and our generations to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then also work our way outward. So protecting the church body, protecting our cities and our communities, getting involved in politics, attending school board meetings, committee meetings, understanding what property is being sold and what's being done with it, what local ordinances are being enforced and what isn't, and having the courage to stand up and say, you know what, that's against my values, that's against my belief system, I don't want to call to prayer at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I request and I insist that the noise ordinances be enforced. Because that's how they're able to do it, is the ordinances that have been in place for decades are not being enforced. But we have to hold people accountable. And so if each of us took care of our neighborhood and our city, we would defeat this wave.
And get involved in the education of our children. I understand that there's some Muslim countries, Islamist countries that have tried to get into the textbooks here in the United States. Is that true?
For decades they've been funding our textbook. I heard about that first in 1990, and I was told then it started in the 1980s.
So the call to action that you just gave, part of that is for us parents to be aware, you know, of what's going on in the schools with the textbooks, to be informed. And I know a lot of you who are listening right now, hopefully it's 100% of you, you know, are doing that. And if you're not, you need to. You need to know what these textbooks are saying, and you need to be engaged.
I have a bunch of parents that are now complaining. So, you can't teach biblical history. You can't teach the Bible, but they have a class on Islam. So one of the parents is like, what do I do? And I said, go complain. Go complain to the teacher. Go complain to the principal. If they do nothing, go to the school board and complain. I said, if we don't start raising our voices, if we don't push back, then they just steamroll stuff in, assuming that Christians are never going to respond. And it's really up to us to have the courage and the boldness to stand for what we believe in.
So what I hear you saying right now is we can't remain silent. We've got to rise up, all under biblical values, and be bold as a lion, and go out there and make a difference.
Absolutely. People tell me, unfortunately, nowadays, with the rise of anti-Semitism, which really breaks my heart, when you say this country's founded on Judeo-Christian values, they say, well, there was no Jewish people in the founding of the nations. And I said, listen, it's one Bible. It's the Old and the New Testament. We are people of Judeo-Christian values. And the Jewish community, there should be no daylight between the Jewish and the Christian communities. You know, we worship one God, so they haven't met Yeshua yet, but we worship one God, and our principles and our values are what this nation is founded on. And we need to, you know, team up together to realize that we are under threat, and the values of this country are what they're attacking. And that, you know, we have a republic as long as we can keep it. So it's up to us to preserve that.
You need to be informed. You need to know what's going on. How do people connect with you? I know you may have a new show happening, and so I want you to tell everybody about, you know, what you have ahead.
Absolutely. So my ministry is called Resurrect Ministry, with a Y at the end, .com. So they can always reach me there. I actually field calls from the public from all over the world, questions, information that they want to share with me. And my Instagram is my name, Hedia Miramati. And I have a new show coming up called Living Fearless on the Real Life Network. Yes.
What an amazing network with Jack Hibbs.
Yes.
And this guy always tells the truth. I mean, he's a pastor, of course, in California, and then he's got this real life network.
Yes.
You got Mr. Cohen that's on there as
Daniel
well.
Daniel Cohen's our superstar. Absolutely. He's our trendsetter.
He is amazing. And I interviewed him, and he's just such a great guy, so knowledgeable.
Yes.
And that real life network just keeps growing. And
we
growing
are constantly
and growing.
Expanding. Yes,
and I mean,
we are.
It's amazing because you go to that website and you see all these great videos that are so informative. And I mean, they give you the truth of what's happening. And then you're going to be on that. Well, what are you going to do on this episode?
A lot of it is going to be educating people about the Islamization of America. That's really my focus, my passion. That's what the Lord's put me on, put on my heart. And so I'll be focused on that for a while. So it'll be very informative, very educational. And I'm going to bring receipts, try to explain people based on the facts of what's going on, my lived, my shared experience. And I hope people enjoy it.
Oh, they're going to love it because it's information they're not hearing, you know, anywhere else. So Real Life Network with Jack Hibbs, you can Google that. But it's going to be powerful. And already, you know, with Daniel Cohen, I mean, you got that guy on there, and he's, and all the other different people that are presenters there.
We have a ton of programmers that offer their content. So yeah, you could go to reallifenetwork.com, and we have a whole bunch of different variety of programmers that provide content on the network. And it's just awesome.
You know, we've been talking about, you know, a lot of hard issues right now, and we could talk about current events in the Middle East and in Israel, all of the radical Islam stuff that's happening here in our country. We look at Minnesota and just all over, and I hear about Muslim communities being built. I know you know all about that. It can get really overwhelming and really discouraging for people who just love the Lord, love the Bible, and it's like, it's just so overwhelming. You know, speak to those people. They just heard us talk about all this heavy stuff, like, they're coming after us. We're, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. And you just feel this overwhelming, you know, burden on you. And it's like, I just don't know what to do, you know, when we hear all this heavy stuff.
We have an eternal perspective on life. You know, we are not citizens of here. We're citizens of heaven. And to live as Christ, to die as gain. So we should have no fear. We shouldn't be ruled by fear. And it's so important to live a life that is bold and courageous, because that's just how we finish well. You know, we fought the good fight. We ran our race. We finish well. You know, I mean, ultimately, isn't that what we want to hear from the Lord? That, well done, good and faithful servant. So people should be excited, not scared, not afraid, but get excited, get involved, participate based on the gifts that the Lord has given you. If you don't feel that there's any particular expertise you have, just go sit at a city council meeting. I had one mom call me who said, I had no idea what was going on in my city. Came back and found that there was this 25-acre Muslim complex that was being built. She's like, I didn't even realize we had enough Muslims for a complex that big. And so now she's talking to the planning commission. What is this about? What are the permits you're giving them? Have they really been approved for the permits? Have they followed all the building codes? She's gotten her neighbors involved. It's important to feel empowered by just exercising your rights as an American. So don't get discouraged. Be hopeful. Know that the Lord is always on our side. He that is great in us is greater than he that is in the world. And never forget that.
And you have to look at the Bible. Look at the end of the Bible. Look at all the Bible and see what it says about who wins this battle. We know who wins the battle. You know, it's so crazy. You just talked about these Muslim settlements across our country. And I know we talked a little bit about this on the show. It was about a month and a half ago, a couple of months ago, I first heard about this, because I'm an ill-informed American when it comes to the stuff that we're talking about. I'm supposed to know all about this, and I don't. And I heard this, and I'm like, what is going on here? And I don't know if this is true or not, but it's like some communities that they have, you know, if you're a Christian, you're not going to be able to go. You can't move in there. This is crazy.
Yes. So that's Epic City in Texas. And so it created a huge commotion against social media, got the general public involved and the government involved. So what they did was they took out the restriction against anybody else living there. But the reality is, if you know when you sign the homeowners association that 50% of the homeowners' dues are going to the mosque, what Christian's going to want to live there? So by default, there's going to be nobody but Muslims there. And so there's all these tricks that they're playing to get around the regulation. They've changed the name from Epic City to the Meadows. And they're constantly playing tricks, but people just need to be informed and aware and stay up on the issues.
You have to. And Hedia is doing that. Hedia Miramati, you're doing that all the time. You know, with your expertise, and you've got this brand new show on the Real Life Network, and it's going to be amazing. How can people, you know, stand with you, pray for you, be a part of, you know, what you're doing? Because you're out there shaking the ground a lot here in this nation.
I hope so. Pray for me. I would always, always appreciate that. You know, the Lord's protection is my shield and my buckler, and it's everything that keeps me going. And I also want to finish well. I also want it all to be for his glory. It is not about me. It's about him. I would love for people to pray for Muslims to come to faith in Christ, because we hate the sin, not the sinner. It's really important to always realize that Muslims can't. I was that Muslim that had no context for Christ and came to faith in the Lord. So please always remember that you should witness to your Muslim neighbors, have a conversation with them. Don't consider them the enemy. The enemy is the devil and that demon ideology, but the people are blinded by it. And to the extent we can bring them to the only solution that really matters, which is Christ. So that's really important to me. And you can contact me on the website to support me. It's resurrectministry.com.
Check that out. And you're going to be on Real Life Network. And I'm going to give you 1 minute to say amazing things about Pastor Jack Hibbs, because everybody loves that guy.
Pastor Jack, I don't even know how much people know about him as just even a human being. He's, first of all, a phenomenal teacher, but an amazing shepherd and a pastor. I came to him when I knew nothing about Christianity. I was really kind of lost about what direction I should go. And I asked him for a spiritual covering, and he has shepherded me every day since and has spoken life into me. I met my husband at the church. We raised our children just on his advice. place. I went through a very difficult time raising my teenage daughter, and he spoke such life into me. And so he's just a really amazing person. So I don't want people to think that it's just a man on a screen, you know, with this big mega church. He is, he walks the walk and he talks the talk. That is who he is in real life too. And he's just, he's an amazing person, and the Lord's really blessed him with wisdom and with now an incredible amount of influence. And he's using that well.
I think over 2 million viewers a month, something like that. I don't know what the statistics are for the Real Life Network, but it is absolutely huge. It is growing a lot.
We did a podcast together and it got 650,000 views the last I checked. Yes.
It is growing, growing, growing. Real Life Network, you need to check that out. And it's free to subscribe to that channel. So just do that, because you're going to get the truth. You're going to get biblical truth. It's all foundational under God's word. You're going to get experts like Hedia here. Thank you for joining us here on the Middle East Report. I wish you the best. People are going to be praying for you and standing with you and watching your show on the Real Life Network.
That would be fantastic. Thank you so much.
I want to encourage you to find out more about the Real Life Network with Jack Hibbs. So many great programs on that network. And you can go to reallifenetwork.com, reallifenetwork.com, and you can get a lot of great information there. They're on some of the major video platforms out there, including Roku, or you can just stream it directly from your mobile device. So check that out, reallifenetwork.com. As we enjoy this 4th of July weekend with family and friends, we're celebrating 250 years as a country. We're celebrating 250 years of freedom. I wanted to share the show with you today on radical Islam to help us realize that the freedoms that we have here in this country are fragile. We need to make sure that we are informed. We need to stand up for the freedoms that we enjoy here in our country, especially when it comes to the radical Islam takeover here in our country. But you know, as parents, as grandparents, we have to inform our children about the history and about the things that have happened in our nation in the past, and why it's so important for us to protect our country and to get back to the basics of how our country was founded. And I want to just challenge you as a parent, and I want to challenge me as a granddad, to make sure that we're instilling those values of freedom into our children. And you moms and dads out there, you grandparents, I know you're doing a good job with that. Keep it up. And let's continue to stand for the freedoms that we enjoy here in our country, the freedoms that have made this country what it is today. We have to be stewards of the blessings that God has given to this country, including the freedoms that we enjoy. Jesus taught that to whom much is given, much is required. Few nations in history have been entrusted with the resources, opportunities, and influence that America has enjoyed. And that shouldn't just produce pride, it should produce stewardship. Luke 12:48 says, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required." That's the Middle East Report. I'm John Riley. Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend. Thanks for listening. Get a podcast of the show at AFR.net or wherever you get your podcasts.